It's computer. Recording. Okay, beautiful. Let me just see that that's all looking all right. I think it is. Hi, Amanda. I'm really excited about today's class, about today's topic. I can see Sophia's coming on. The topic for today's class, we're talking about money. We're talking about our money mindset. We're talking about designing and creating offerings and services that you want to put out into the world that are expressions of your gifts and talents. We're talking about opening up to receive money, to receive income through doing your soul work in the world. And maybe, yeah, to receive income in ways that you haven't received it before. I'm glad you're looking forward to it, Amanda. I'm actually really excited about it. I was prepping for it yesterday and I was like, oh, I'm really excited to teach this class. I feel like this is really just feels really important right now. As you guys are logging on, I can see Sophia and Danielle. Say hi to me in the comments. Ah, Dawn, I have a headache. This is the most difficult class for me. Okay, well, let's just bring that resistance on in, because that's actually really important. And that's going to be one of the first things I'm going to talk about with you, is we need to look at what might be getting in the way right now, because that's part of it. It's not just about calling in more money. It's making sure that we're becoming aware of and facing and working to release anything that might be blocking you at the moment or limiting you in any way. Ooh, this is interesting. Amanda's saying, yeah, it's a big one and I really need it. Sophia feeling nervous to open up to this info. Ooh, we've got some interesting emotions coming up. That's all right. Just bring it with you. You know, have a notepad and pen if you want to be taking some notes. Or just stay really present if you want and just be breathing into what's coming up for you as we're moving through the content. And then just know, obviously, you'll have the replay to work through and the workbook will take you deeper into some of the stuff I'm going to cover too. So I'm just going to dive on in. Danielle's feeling ready. Hey, beautiful. Nice to see you. All right. I've got all my notes and I reckon I'm just going to dive on in and get started. So I'm going to start with talking about money and our money mindset, our money story, money blocks, making shifts around our money mindset and our money stories. I'm then going to go into talking about receiving money, the energetics of that, and then we'll do some work around offerings. So there's a particular exercise in the workbook, but I'll sort of talk through it a bit today around the idea of creating an offering, something you might want to put out into the world, which doesn't mean you need to do it today and offer it tomorrow. It might be something that you're spending some time working on. But as you begin thinking about it, as you begin exploring that possibility and opening your mind to it, you open yourself up to receive the ideas, and then you also begin putting the energy into maybe the creation of that. And it's a really beautiful and fun thing to be working on. And that's, I think, why you're all here, honestly. And then we'll talk a little bit about sort of selling, how I see selling and more of my approach of magnetism when it comes to calling in money. And that is what we will cover. Oh, I can see Kylie coming in. Hi, sorry, I had my notes up on the screen, so I didn't see you. Hello, beautiful, nice to see you. Let me know in the comments how you're feeling, Kylie. I just want to make sure, and I'm pretty sure I've got it right. I'm right that you can just see my screen at the moment, right? Because I've been having a few issues with Zoom not recording correctly, but I'm pretty sure we've just got me highlighted at the moment. So yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Amanda. All right, I'm going to dive on into my notes. So we were just mentioning this, but the most important first step is we want to know energetically, emotionally, and your mindset-wise, where you're at around money. So what your kind of inner programming feeling is around money at the moment. And that's where I kind of want to open up with you, because until we identify that, we can't see what needs to change, what's getting in the way, what's limiting you, and what your kind of upgrade or even inner work or shifts are to make around this topic. Money can have a lot of charge around it, either emotionally, it can have a lot of judgments and stories, it can be our feeling about it can be very influenced from our experiences growing up based on our parents' relationship to money and how they felt about it. So it can be a very loaded topic. And I even can hear that in some of you expressing, you know, some emotion already coming up around this class. We know this is a charged topic, which is okay. but it's beautiful. Let's just lean on in and take a look at everything that's going on there. So we will all, so understand that money's just like this neutral thing. It's actually just like an energy. That's really all money is. I know it comes in the shape and form of dollars and a figure in your bank account and a paycheck that you receive, but it is a neutral energy. It's an energy that just responds to us. It's an energy that we are actually the director of. We may not feel like it sometimes. We may not feel like we're really that in charge of or in control of our money, but money is an energy that, like every energy in the universe, responds to us. And it's an energy that's always in flow. Money is constantly circulating. Money is constantly going from one hand to another. It's being given and received. It's going in transactions. It's always in movement and it's always circulating. And however that money is flowing through your life experience is based on how you're directing that energy, based on how you feel about it, what you think about it, your stories you tell about it, your perception of it, all of that, just like anything we manifest. Okay, so money in itself is actually neutral. But what's so interesting to look at, because we're all going to be putting different things on that energy, on that topic of money. Each and every one of you are coming into this class with a very different feeling or story or perception around money. Now, that's not the truth about money. It's just that's your feeling about it, and therefore it responds to you based on how you feel about it and how you think about it, right? So you might want to take some time to unpack this, but I would encourage you even to begin thinking about it now. First of all, the emotions that you feel when we talk about money. Sometimes we have emotions like shame or guilt. Sometimes we feel scarcity and contraction. Sometimes we feel fear. Sometimes we feel, I don't know, maybe it's not spiritual, it's not, it's not a humble thing to want. Maybe we feel really good about money. Maybe we love it. Maybe it has really positive emotions. But I would encourage you to just be reflecting on the emotions and feelings that come up. Also your perception of it. So the story you have about money and what it means. You know, some people, there's that age old kind of thing, money's the root of all evil. Or some people like money doesn't grow on trees. Money's hard to make. Money requires a lot of hard work. Rich people are corrupt and self-absorbed and selfish. Or money just seems to slip through my fingers. Or I've never really had much money and that's just how it is. Whatever the kind of perceptions and stories are that you hold about it and how you typically think about it too. Do you find yourself often worrying about money? Worrying about when it's going to come and how? And this might be a really timely conversation too, because all of us probably in some shape or form have had our financial lives impacted by what's unfolding with COVID-19. So even nice to see what's coming up around that in yourself right now. What train of thought was I on there? Was I saying, oh, I've totally lost that. That's really weird. It'll come back to me. I'm just looking at my notes. Stay on track, Connie. And also another thing to look at is what your pattern is with it. So this is how we can actually, do you feel scarcity? Do you feel lack? Do you worry about whether it's going to come in the future? Do you check your bank account constantly or do you actually avoid your bank account? Do you feel like there's only one way that money can come to you? Through a job? Would you love to be able to make money through doing your passionate work in the world, but you don't believe you can? So that this, all of this first part of just sort of noticing everything around this topic of money for you might in itself be a really big process, but it's a very valuable process if you've never really unpacked it before. You also want to look at your pattern with money. So the way money historically has either come into your life, moved out of your life, felt to you, if you can see recurring patterns, that will help point to a core belief system you hold. So one for me used to always be that I could call money in, but I couldn't seem to keep it. I would either call in a lot of money and then manifest big expenses, so it would have to go out again. Or I would just go on a crazy spending spree and buy it. I actually found it very difficult to hold. That was my pattern early days of my business. I was making a lot more money than I was used to, but that money was going out just as quick. And that was because at that time, having a large amount of money felt actually quite uncomfortable and unfamiliar to me. So I wanted to get rid of it. I actually felt safer getting rid of it and bringing my bank account down than I did holding that larger figure there, because it was quite unfamiliar to me to receive that amount of money. So that has been a pattern in my business that I've actually been breaking quite well. Oh, you know what? I can hear my hair straightener beeping and it's really going to irritate me. I'm going to have to turn that off. I'll be back. Just give me a sec. Sorry about that. Let me just make sure my video is off. Oh, that's good. That's all still perfect. Beautiful. Kylie, I always feel like there's enough to do whatever I want, but not overflow. That's a really common one. Like enough for just what I need, but not that sort of excess and abundance that feels like an overflow. I also struggle with the idea that you have to work hard for money, or it's an hourly rate for work completed, meaning working for a wage. And that makes a lot of sense if that's the model you've come from. If you have spent most of your financial life experiencing money coming in that shape and form, so you will, it will be a big part of your belief system. Doesn't mean that can't be changed, but yeah, it will feel like a core belief that you hold. And we'll talk about, when you talk about the not the overflow, I'm going to talk a bit about receiving and calling in more money, and that, yeah, we'll dive into a little bit of that. But I absolutely relate to that as well. That was an experience for me for a long time. Yep. So, like I said, money, I want you to start to see money as an energy, and money is an energy that responds to you, that you direct. An energy that takes a shape and form in your life based on your feelings and perceptions about it. And money is just a tool. Money is a tool that we get to use in this human life experience we're having to have experiences. So it's a form of exchange. So you can exchange energy in so many different ways. You can exchange energy, like, I mean, back in the day they used to do a bartering system. It was kind of like, oh, I'll give you an hour of my life coaching services and you'll come and give me a facial for an hour. I don't know, if we had two people that kind of had services that could cross over, or, you know, I'll do graphic design on your website and you'll give me some business coaching. That can be one way. That's still an exchange. So money is just like a method of exchanging energy and services and time. So, because there's always got to, with the universe, there's always got to be an equal balance of giving and receiving, and inflow and outflow. It's not always in perfect balance, but we know this kind of exchange of energy that is what we work with in this universe, where, you know, I giving and receiving. If I'm going to give you an hour of my time, I might receive your appreciation back through money. And that's just you, like, you all paying for this program is you just giving your appreciation of being a part of this in the form of money. For some people, if I offer a free service like the podcast, I receive that appreciation back in the form of people saying thank you, people sharing it, people sending me DM, people referring it onto a friend. I still get energy back, but it just comes in a different form. It comes in the form of appreciation. Or it could come in the form of someone giving me something for free, or it can come in the form of money. That's all it is. Money is just one way that we can receive back for what we put out and give. So something that I've often looked at, if money isn't flowing in my life, so if I'm not receiving back that flow, is looking at, this isn't the only reason money doesn't flow into your life, but it's one reason. And it's been a big thing I've had to look at in my work. Like, the amount of money I receive in my business is directly reflective of how much value I offer into the world. So when I'm not offering much value, I'm not putting out content, I'm not putting out courses, I'm not teaching, I typically find there's no real money flowing in. The more I show up, I be visible, I add value, I offer a service, I sell, I share it with people, the more money flows in. So for me, in terms of running a business, I have found the more visible I am, the more vocal I am, the more I'm creating, the more I'm teaching, the more value I'm adding, the more money I make. It's just the balance of inflow and outflow. And I've also found, and it's been a really cool thing for me to watch in myself, anytime I contract energetically out of fear, so I might want to share something and then I'm like, oh, I don't feel like being visible today, or oh, I don't know if that message is going to add value. When my energy contracts like that, the flow of money contracts in my life. Whenever I open up and I expand my energy and I step forward and I shine my light and I'm bright, money flows in abundantly. I've seen this time and time again in running a business. It's very different. That model's difficult to apply in more of a day job situation where you have a set income and you have set hours that you work, hopefully set hours. That's a little bit of a different model. But if we're talking about business, this is 100% how it works. And the amount of money I make is directly correlated to how fully expressed I am being in sharing my gifts and my light and my wisdom with others. So if you're wanting to make money through your business, say, I would say if you're currently not making money through your soul work in the world, I would encourage you to look at where am I holding back sharing myself, sharing my value, sharing my gifts, letting people see me and hear me, creating things that are going to help people. You'll see a direct connection. Okay. Hope that's making sense. Amanda, we have enough money and live a very comfortable life, but money was an issue for me as a child that I earned money and I was fine with it. Then when I got married and my husband always earned more, somehow I never thought I deserved to spend money on myself as he did. Once I had kids, I realized my worth and have worked really hard on receiving. But with the music industry, there's a lot of issues with money and its worth. So working on this is really important to me. Yeah. Yeah, I just had a really, I don't even know if this will land for you, Amanda, but I just had a little insight drop in. You know, sometimes, and this isn't always the case, and I don't know if this is the case for you, but sometimes there are certain soul gifts that we have that aren't meant to be our pure source of income. Yeah, I don't know what's dropping in around that, but something in me was like, something said in my ear, there's other ways for you to make money too, outside of just the selling of your music. There's other things percolating that might want to be created that are similar, but I don't know, there's something in that. But I remember Elizabeth Gilbert talking about this. She did a post ages ago about it, that even when she was writing, we all know Elizabeth Gilbert, right? Eat, Pray, Love. Even when she was writing best-selling books, she was still working in other jobs, because she didn't want to put that much pressure on her creativity to be the sole source of her income. Writing was her joy. Writing was her love. And even when she was getting massive, she was still working other jobs to get other income to ensure that full pressure wasn't on her creative work. And that is a big thing I advocate for any of you who are wanting to bring in money through being creatively expressed, through offering your gifts. You absolutely can, but it doesn't have to be your sole income. And it doesn't have to be the only way you receive money, and it doesn't have to have the pressure of having to deliver money for you. So sometimes it's about exploring, you know, is this a gift that I just want to share with the world that will bring in money, but may not, I'm not going to put pressure on it to have to make me millions of dollars. Or do I want it to be? Like for me, I actually made the decision. I did want to go all in and have this be my sole source of income. But everyone's different. I don't want anyone to feel you have to be full-time in this for it to be the right thing to do. Yeah, Amanda, I've always worked in my husband's business and teaching singing. Yeah, there's something. Have we talked about this? I don't know. There's just something dropping in. We have, I think. Dropping in for me around the idea of you teaching singing online. I don't know where that's coming from, but that's just... that just keeps dropping in as I'm talking to you. All right. So if you have money blocks coming up, You know, and even what we're sort of hearing in the comments is a lot of this is based on our past experiences of the way that we're used to receiving money, of what we have experienced of how money does come into our life. And there's nothing wrong with any of those, but it's only worth looking at if you feel like that's going to block you calling in more or receiving more. Or for, you know, in Kylie's example, she said, you know, maybe this kind of perception that money only comes from the hours I work in this job limits her ability to have the overflow that maybe she's wanting. So that's only worth looking at if you can like see, okay, this is going to limit what I want to call in. It may be that you have some limiting or negative perceptions about money from childhood, from what, you know, this was a big one for me. So I think I've told this story before, but in my family, my father was the breadwinner. He ran his business. He made all the money that supported our whole family. My mum gave up her job when she was pregnant with my sister. So I think she worked a bit when she had me and then gave up work when she had my sister. And then my other sister came along and mum was kind of full-time at home with the kids. And I actually watched, it was very public in my household. My dad would pay my mom like a wage. And he did it my dad had a few downsides to him. He would do it in a very controlling, kind of manipulative way. It was a bit of a power thing for him. And he would only give her a certain amount of money a week. And I remember he would just put the cash on the kitchen bench. And it was so public in our family, like this idea of him making the money and paying her this little wage that she had to live on. So I grew up with this really like negative feeling about being a woman and money. Like I believe like men can make a lot of money, men can have all the freedom, men can do all this great stuff, but I never had an example of a woman being very financially free and empowered and setting up a career. So that took a lot of work for me. And that's why I think I came into my masculine a lot, because I thought, oh, well, the only way I'll be able to make money is if I act like a man. It's taken a lot of reprogramming to kind of start to believe that I can be a woman and be equally as, if not more successful than what a man can. And I've had to find a lot of other female examples besides my mother of that, looking a lot to friends that I know or colleagues or people I admire who have built very successful businesses by being in their feminine and making a lot of money. So actually finding examples that disprove your story can be really valuable. That's been something I've definitely explored. Sometimes there's fears that come up about making more money, and this can block us. And we'll do a little thing around receiving and calling in more money, you'll sort of start to see what comes up. But, and in fact, my boyfriend and I were talking about this because he asked me this really interesting question, and this might be something you all want to explore too. He said to me, What is most important to you in your work? And he actually got me to list 8 things. He's like, what are the 8 things that are most important to you in your work? And my first one was freedom. So this is kind of to elicit your values, bit of a values exercise. My first one was freedom. My second one was creativity. My third one was, I think it was like community and kind of, you know, being of service to my, or I think it was just community actually. And I kept going, and money was number 5 for me. And then he actually shared his with me, and money wasn't even on his list, which was so interesting because he's a very money-focused person. But it was weird. He didn't even think to put money on there. And we had this really interesting conversation around it. And what I realized was I have a bit of a limitation around if my top value is freedom, I actually, part of me has a fear that making more money will take away my freedom. And if freedom is my top value, I'm not going to make more money than if it's going to take that away from me. So it was really interesting to look at. I was like, okay, I have this story that making more money is going to mean more time at the computer, more work, more responsibility, and that's going to take away my freedom. So I would rather have freedom and make less money. When I saw that, we only uncovered that like a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, that's really holding me back. And I didn't even realize. And I also, I also had being of service. So seeing my creativity, being of service, my community was all above money. You know, that's where this very selfless side of me comes out. Oh, I'll give free content. I'll do all of this and all of this. And oh, however much money I make is enough, you know? And I actually was like, okay, what if I put money as number 2? What if freedom was number one and money was number two? And that was a little triggering initially, but I was like, do you know what? That actually works way better. Because how can I possibly serve my community to the extent that I want to without money? How can I possibly create to the extent that I want to without money? How can I offer all this free content without money supporting me to do that? And I realized that like, money is actually like the second most important thing, not because I'm choosing money over my community, but because I know it's such an incredible tool for me to be of even bigger service in the world. And for me to take care of myself. So I know I deliver the best content when I feel nourished and I have a lot of self-care and I feel healthy and I've done all the stuff to look after me. And without money, I can't do that to the same level. So it was really interesting as we started to unpack this. And that's a really powerful question just to ask. Maybe list out your top five or your top 10 or top three values and even just see where money kind of fits in there for you. And it might reveal some things for you. That was really, really interesting for me. I'm just having a little look through here, Dawn. I feel much better now with the idea that my other income sources, investments and retirement income, mean that I don't need to have my writing as a source of income. That's a really beautiful point. And you might, you know, as each of you kind of move on your journey through this course, some of you might find keeping some elements of your current work might be really helpful for you, either in a maybe a full-time capacity, maybe in a part-time capacity. Particularly in next class, we talk about transition. And I will talk about this a lot because it is so important to be maintaining that source of financial support as you are transitioning into what you want to do to ensure that you're literally not in panic, fight or flight mode, trying to figure out how to make money off this thing that you love doing and putting so much pressure on it. It's actually great to have other income sources that are giving you the freedom to play and create and have fun in what you want to offer without financial pressure around it. Danielle, this is such a big life lesson for me around worthiness of holding space for money and not feeling guilty for having it. Responsibility around working hard at a day job is the only way to earn money. A lot of fear around doing the right thing with money, even though I've done tons of work on this. Beautiful. We'll talk in a minute about sort of writing a new money story, which might need to happen a bit here for you. And the worthiness piece and the receiving. It's interesting. So guilt is such an interesting emotion. And I think I've said this before, but I remember Elizabeth Gilbert saying the difference between guilt and shame. So they're both about wrongness. But guilt is I've done something wrong, and shame is there's something wrong with me. So shame is more internalized. But guilt is like this sort of feeling of like there's something wrong with this. So this money that I'm receiving, this money that I have, there's something wrong with it. Like I shouldn't have that. It's, you know, there's some meaning tied up in there that's actually making it wrong. And I would actually encourage you to look at all of the reasons why having money is so right. So if we have a feeling of wrongness, and that maybe the feel wrong isn't the language that comes through for you. It could just more so be a guilt, but often guilt is a feeling of this is wrong in some way. But all the reasons why it's right. And again, that was such a reframe for me because my background is in the not-for-profit sector. So before setting up my business, I worked for years in not-for-profit. It was never about making money. It was all about service. Everyone in my industry ran themselves into the ground, being of huge service to our clients and being like, oh, but don't worry about me. I'm sick or I don't have any money or whatever. I'm here to be of service. And there's only so long you can do that. I mean, it's like, you know, the age old, if you're on a plane, you put your air mask on before you fit your child's. Because what help can you be to that child if you've gone unconscious because you don't have your oxygen mask on? Just like what help can you be to the people you're trying to serve if you are literally like stressed and anxious and not feeling like your needs are met and not getting the financial support that you need? I am of so much better service the more money that I make. I serve you all so much better the more money that I make. So actually flipping it to be like, well, what is right about having money? I mean, there's so many things. Like you can actually support other people in your life. Like part of my driver for having more money is to be able to support my mom. I'd love to be able to have more of an overflow of money to actually be putting money in her bank account. I mean, that would be massive for me to be able to do that for her. Or my sister who has a disability, to be able to ensure that financially she's going to be taken care of for the rest of her life. They're big drivers for me. It's not just about me getting to live a lavish lifestyle. Although a lavish lifestyle expands and elevates my energy and again makes me of better service to everyone. So if you can create a story that makes it right and good to have money, and to find some really key things in there that you can then use money for that fit into your values, then you can kind of reframe how you feel about it. But it sounds like there's a bit of a story in there that it's more of a self-focused thing, that it's about me being bigger or better than others in some way. Yeah, Amanda's the same. I'm wanting to help others and create wealth for community, not just myself. I mean, do you know what? You look at things like what happened with the bushfire crisis in Australia. You look at those people who had a lot of money, how much they were able to contribute. Like I saw Chris and Liam Hemsworth, that family, the Hemsworth, donate $1 million to bushfire relief. Look what level of service they could be at because of how much money they had. And it's easy for people to be like, oh, he's a celebrity and, you know, just building his nice big house in Byron. But that gave, I mean, he had a lot bigger capacity than I did to help the bushfires. He could do a lot more than I could. So it actually can, it can make us, we, if we use it the right way, we can be of huge service. Kylie, money is freedom to me. Money is freedom to me too. And that's what I realized. When I realized my top value was freedom, but money equals freedom, then money's super important, isn't it? Kylie, but I don't feel free in my day job and that gives me money. But this is interesting because that's why you're all here. Because that's a really interesting one for you, Kylie, because I know we've talked about it. Freedom is one of your biggest values. And I think that's why you're reassessing everything at the moment, because as you've realized that, you're like, well, yes, this job gives me money, which gives me both security and freedom. And most of us that when we're in a sort of a paycheck kind of job, security is usually a pretty strong value for us too. What were we talking about? Oh, I can't remember what it was. My boyfriend and I were having this discussion because he asked his parents who have day jobs and his sister, and their biggest value wasn't freedom. It was like people, and it was people and it was the work. Whereas often for people who are self-employed or have the desire to be self-employed, freedom is pretty high up there. So I think that's why you're reassessing it, Kylie, and it's kind of like maybe initially the job gives you the freedom because you're not stressed about money, so it gives you the freedom to think about other possibilities. But maybe ultimately you're looking to bring in additional income through other ways of work that will help create that overflow and give you more freedom of choice then in whether you want to be in your job or not. Yeah, or whether you want to drop down to 4 days a week or whether you want to do a different job. I think there's something about calling in, like creating something that will bring in additional money that will give you more of that freedom of choice. And I'm sure that's frustrating at the moment, but that freedom of choice isn't there to be like, you know what, I just want to leave this job because I don't want to be here. But sometimes that need for the financial support prevents us feeling as free to make those choices. Danielle, this is so interesting. I never thought about why it could be right instead of looking at the fear first. Yeah, cool. It's about flipping it. And even I was going to touch on, there was even some other parts in it as well. Even that story of like the only way to earn money is to be responsible and work hard at my day job. Is that 100% the truth? Can you be certain that that's the truth? No, that's just like your current experience. But even a new story would be, I'm ready to learn new ways to make money through doing what I love. I'm ready to learn how, I'm open and willing and ready to learn how to make money through doing what I love, or how to make money through offering my soul gifts with the world. I may not know how to do that yet, but I'm willing to believe that it is possible that I could make money in other ways. There's just little ways to start to change the story. And even fear around doing the right thing with money. Again, the new story could be, I'm learning how to be even more responsible with my money. I'm learning new ways to organize and look after my money that allows it to flow very securely through my life. But see, even for as long as we sort of have the fear or the story of like, I don't know if I can do the right thing with money, money's not like, you're almost saying like, money, don't come in. Don't come in because I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle you. That's actually a big one of my things that I'm working through, because I set a big intention to, I started anchoring into a much bigger figure of what I wanted to call in. And I realized my current financial systems can't hold that amount of money. So with some of my launches, and this is kind of my own stuff I'm working through, we just don't have it systemized properly. And so sometimes when people are purchasing things, I'm needing to manually do stuff, manually add them to mailing lists. Or when I do my GST, for example, I actually manually go through. And because some of my payments are international and some of my payments are Australian, I have to pick out the Australian ones for GST, but not the international ones. If I, like, let's just say I tripled my sales next month, my systems would implode. And I really had to look at that, because I was like, the fact that I don't have very smooth automated systems is completely blocking me calling in more money. Because my systems would have a complete meltdown if I tripled my income next month. You understand? So this is where, we'll talk about this, but this is where you can see what needs to shift for you to come into alignment with the money you're wanting to create. Yeah, beautiful. Danielle says exactly. Sophia, I think I hold resistance around believing that what I have to offer holds worth. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And I think that's why I don't finish projects and why I don't attract money through the channels of my passion. Beautiful. Kylie, you would really have to work hard for the money. That might have been linked to one. I'm trying to think where that ties into what I've been jumping around in all different things. But I mean, if I actually am starting to believe, and I'm going to talk about this too, it's not hard work that creates money. Now, if you can actually even change that story, this is when things start to get interesting, because I'll talk about magnetism. It's not my hard work that creates money, it's my energy. So if you want to receive more money, it's not about working harder. And this might be your model, which again will create a really negative feeling around it. Where is it that I say it here? So like the amount of money you're currently making is a direct reflection of how you feel about money. The amount of money you're currently making is a direct reflection about what you believe about money. The amount of money you're receiving is what is the amount of money you're currently in vibrational alignment with based on the energy that you're radiating. So what I'm coming to realize as I've been playing in this space more, the amount of money I make has nothing to do with my action and everything to do with my energy. Everything. I started playing in the space of magnetism over the past few years. I will talk about this, but as I really started to play in the space of magnetism, making money became effortless. And it's not related to my output. It's completely related to my capacity to receive. This is why I'm so big on feminine work. The more that I've come into my feminine, the more money I've made. The more that I've opened up my energy, come into receiving mode, surrendered and trusted and allowed money to come to me, the more money I've made. Now that's my new belief system, never used to be, but that's my belief system now. And you can completely change the way you think about money. Again, because it's an energy. It's like anything. Like as I really started to understand manifestation, I understood I don't manifest what I want in my life by working hard for it. I mean, work is 100% a part of it. I'm a very hardworking person, but I manifest it by coming into energetic alignment with it. So if you want to create more money, you just got to know how to come into energetic alignment with that amount of money. And yeah, this stuff like Sophia, I'll come to your point too. The stuff about our worth, do we value it? Do we think we deserve it? Do we think what we're putting out is good enough? That will block it. But as you clear that up, like there's no limit to how much you can receive. Dawn, I'm open to using my soul mission to bring in more money, giving me the capacity to do more good. Beautiful. That's a beautiful intention and statement right there. Just to keep that as your as your reminder. So one thing that I'm working on at the moment, and I'm still, like, I'll be completely honest, I'm still working through this a lot this year, because there's a certain level of money that I'm very, very good at calling in my business. I can call it in pretty consistently. It's a lot more than I was making in my day job. And I'm pretty good at calling in that amount of money. But this year I was like, I'm gonna aim to create double. I'm just gonna play in that space. No pressure, but I'm just gonna play in that space. So what I started to do, first of all, was get really clear on what I wanted to receive. And the clarity piece is important, because the universe likes clarity, money likes clarity. Money responds really well to clarity and order and being directed. So understand it's an energy that we can direct. And we want to be in charge of how we're directing it. So I set a very clear goal. And you might be like, you know what, I want to be making an extra $500 a month from my creativity, my soul gifts, offering my services in the world. You might be like, I want to be able to replace my day job income, so you'll know how much that is. You might be like me, I've got an annual figure. I'm going to double what I made in the past few years and make this amount this year. So that sort of clarity is helpful. You don't have to make that amount, but it's helpful to have something to aim for. Because even like a lot of us just are like, I want more money, or I want to have an overflow. But the universe is like, what do you mean? Like an overflow by a dollar? Because we can give you an extra dollar if you want it. How much more do you want? And your mind will probably be like, oh, I can't dream that, because like how? How am I going to make it? Forget about the how. What would you actually like to be able to create and call in additionally? And the way that I kind of work with this, I'm jumping around a little bit, but let's see if I want to go into the receiving piece now. It's not in my notes. I don't know where it is. Oh yeah, it's there. Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit now. So the way I work on receiving anything, like I said, is by coming into energetic alignment with it. So if I start imagining the amount of money I want to make this year, understand that reality has a different version of me in it to this reality. Just like I was hearing a woman talk who last year made $600,000 in her business. That's a great year. And she was talking about how making a 60K month is like her new normal. And I was like, wow, that's pretty fucking cool. And I was like, okay, that woman making that money has a very different mindset to me, has very different emotions about money to me, shows up very differently in her work, takes very different actions. Would spend her money differently, would treat her money differently, would have different systems in place. And so when I work on imagining calling in the amount of money that I now want to receive, again, knowing that it's all for good intent, it's not just for me to be a greedy bitch, it's actually really so I can be of much, reach a lot more people and be of much bigger service in the world. I go, okay, first of all, so if I know, like we were talking about at the start, this, you know, this amount of money that I have, or this is how I feel about money, my energy set point, my vibration, my mindset, all of it. And I was to imagine, we did this work in Align and Elevate, which a few of you did that program. But if I was to imagine this amount of money, what's different between me in this reality and that reality? Well, I feel different. That's one of the first things I notice. I feel more relaxed. I feel more expansive. I feel softer. I feel more supported. I feel more safe. I notice I'm taking better care of myself. So I actually am using more of that money to invest in deeper levels of self-care, things that nurture me and nourish me, you know, really good quality food, when I can get back to things like yoga classes and getting my facials, all those kind of things, buying stuff that just makes me feel really nourished and good, being able to live in a beautiful home. If I couldn't afford this apartment and I was needing to run these classes from sort of like a room in a share house somewhere, you would get a completely different version of me, because my energy would be completely different. So this home, being able to pay for this home, deeply serves me to serve you. There's a different mindset up here. There's different financial systems. There's different ways that I would be selling. I'd be selling a lot more, and I'd have a lot more to sell. I'd be probably posting a lot more content. I'd be getting myself out there a lot more. So that's where I see as my work. And I go, oh, it's not just about, oh, cool, how do I make more money? It's like, how do I become this person who's in alignment with that amount of money? And you can do that right away by getting clarity on what that looks like and shifting yourself into that space. Amanda, I just had an idea drop in that I could create a new business name that is separate from me, and then I could be at arm's length and perhaps have a better attitude towards it. It just feels lighter and right. It dropped in while you were talking. And here's the point that Amanda just demonstrated so beautifully. As you start to open up your mind and start to say energetically, I would like to make more money, then the ideas that will help you make it come in. And that's exactly what just happened to Amanda. She started to come into alignment now with this sort of new desire and possibility, and then in comes the inspired idea. That's always what happens to me. I will decide I want to make a certain amount of money, and then I just stay open. And then all of a sudden in morning meditation, my guidance says, do this. Put your courses on sale, design a new offering, post this online class. And I'm like, okay, I receive the how. I receive the how, which just happened to Amanda. And that to her feels like, I completely get this, because sometimes being a personal brand, it mixes up the energy, or sometimes we're wanting to create something new that will have a different energy in it. And so just, yeah, trust that guidance. That feels really light and really beautiful. And then, yeah, really like feel into both the doing of that and what that would look like, but then also who you'd like to be in that and how that would feel different and how you'd like to think about it and the mindset you want to bring and all the things you would have in place that would make that new business in alignment with the type of money you want to be receiving. So let's talk a little bit about some mindset and energy stuff, and we'll talk about offerings and designing an offering if you would like to do that. And I, Sophia, I've got you as a post-it note in my head. I'll come back to kind of talking about this idea of if we're struggling to really value what it is we have to offer or believe in what we have to offer. But just a quick point on that, because it sort of has been sticking in my mind. I completely relate to that. Like when I very first started. So I had to go through this transition as well. I worked in day jobs from when I was 18 to when I was 20 till I was 30. So, you know, a lot of years of working in a job and being knowing how to make money. And I used to think about it. I was like, how would I actually ever make money as a coach? Like my head couldn't grasp it. I was like, I don't get how this is going to work. I'm like, how do you make that much money? And like, how does this get, like, ugh, I just didn't get it. So you don't need to know the full how. And even that kind of, let's go back to what she kind of expressed, because I think a lot of people relate to this. Believing if the offer holds worth. And yeah, this stops her sort of finishing the projects and calling in money for it. Well, you know, I would have to say, most things that I offer, I'm going to be 100% transparent. I never know really if they're going to be that valuable. I never know if they're going to be that good. I never know if people are going to love them. I never know if people are going to get much out of them, to be completely honest. I mean, I know that now with my one-on-one because I've coached enough to know that I can deliver value through my one-on-one and I really value my services. But I've been coaching now for 8 years. But with every new course I run, I never know. I never have that certain, that absolute certainty. The first time I ran this mastermind, it was all just a test. I'd never run a program like this. I didn't know. I was just kind of like, I'm going to put it out there and let's just see how we go. The way you build in your belief is, again, we've said this before, you get in there and you give it a go. You build your confidence over time. And there's been a lot of times I've created things and, you know, maybe I've run a class and been like, oh yeah, that class wasn't as valuable as I thought, or I could have run that class better, or all that program I ran didn't quite get the results I wanted. We'll have to tweak that next time. it's kind of part of the journey. And it's difficult to know, to really know the value of your work until you put it out there and you get feedback. You might do a, I think you do, are doing some health coaching stuff at the moment, or maybe it's other stuff. But when I very first started coaching, I would charge $50 for a session because I didn't really believe in my ability to deliver much value. So I was like, $50 is a fair energy exchange for the amount of time I'm going to spend with this person. Most of my coaching sessions were absolute rubbish. I shouldn't have even taken money for them. But I learned so much every time. I would get in there, do the session, and then reflect on, okay, where could I see that person really connected with what I said and got a lot of value out of it? And where could I see that, you know what, I didn't do a very good job there, or I should probably change that, or I could have made it better that way. And then I just kept improving. And I kept the investment pretty low at the start. I did pro bono coaching for 6 months. I coached for free just to build up my confidence, because I had no confidence when I started. I didn't believe that I was a good coach. I wasn't a good coach. But what I did have to do, I just had to trust my passion. That was my first step. I'm just going to trust that I'm really excited about this. I'm really passionate about it. I'm going to trust that I know, you know, when I've maybe shared things with my friends or family, or they've kind of got some value out of it. Or I'm just going to trust that this is just moving through me and I'm going to follow it and see what happens. And yeah, maybe at the start, it's not going to be that great, but I will learn from that and I'll get feedback from that and then I'll tweak it. And so I think what has allowed me to increase my prices over the years was I've started seeing as I, you know, and it took me probably a good year of practice to get good at coaching. I'm not going to like underplay that. Like, it took a lot of hours of coaching to actually become a very good, confident coach. Like anything new that you're learning how to do. But once I started to see, oh my gosh, like that session was epic. That person got so much out of it. They sent me an email after and they were like, Connie, that was powerful. I was like, it's time to increase my prices. So I would do the work. I'd build the confidence and then I'd be like, yeah, I can charge more now. Just like with this mastermind, every time I run it, I increase the price of it. Because you get more and more value from me every single time I run this. The version of myself that ran this the first time, nowhere near as valuable as the way I run it now. All that experience has made me better. And my confidence in this program has grown, and my certainty in this program has grown. And that's how you increase your prices, and that's how you receive more for what you offer. And that's just going to take getting in the trenches and giving it a go. Same with the podcast, like, and anything I put out, sometimes I never really know. Every time I write an Instagram post, I never know if it's going to be valuable. Sometimes my stuff really resonates, other times it doesn't, and that's okay. But I refine and I learn from that through every time I just get in there and do something and then watch how people receive it. Is that helping? How can we work on feeling comfortable with asking for money in return when we know we're in the unknown? It might feel uncomfortable at the start. I would say start with a figure that isn't too triggering. So if, say, I'd done my very first set, well, like I said, I started coaching for free for the first 6 months because I just didn't feel ready to receive money. That was me personally. I also wasn't certified. I actually started coaching as soon as I started my training. And I actually quit my day job even before I was a certified coach. I don't know how that happened, but I think I was maybe a little bit arrogant or something. I don't know. But when I first started receiving money, I didn't feel comfortable. But I think it's a choice to say, you know what? This may not be the best thing ever that I'm putting out there, but this has taken my time. How much time has it taken me? Either, you know, I would sit there for 2 hours and prepare. I would then give an hour in the session. So how much time has it taken for me? How much of my own life experience have I had to move through to be able to deliver this? I'm like, well, I've been studying personal development at that point for 15 years. That's 15 years of study that this person's now starting to receive support from me from. There's that. I also would pay $14,000 to do my life coach training. So that was money I'd invested in order to be able to be of service. When you actually look at what you're receiving money for, it's not just whether you can deliver an outcome for them in that moment, it's everything they're getting. It's the years that you've been working on yourself. It's the years of money you've invested in your own personal development, the thousands of dollars you invested to be here. That's all of the value you're bringing, plus your time, plus your preparation. And even if you're like, okay, well, I only feel comfortable receiving $50 for this session, like I did when I started. If I can really see everything that person's receiving for that small amount of money, I go, okay, well, that's a pretty fair exchange. And it's going to trigger you at the start. And like me, sometimes I would take the money and I'd walk away from the session. I'm like, I shouldn't have taken money for that. But I'm like, no, I need to learn. I need to learn how to value myself. Even if it's really hard, and even if every part of me is like, you don't deserve that, Connie. No, I need to learn how to value myself, because how the hell am I going to run a business if I can't let myself receive money? So it's going to feel really uncomfortable initially. And you kind of just got to give it a go. Sophia, that felt good to hear. Something clicked. Yeah, beautiful. I think with a lot of this stuff, sometimes you don't want to take the step too big. Like if I had charged $200 for my first session, that would have been too much. I would have crumbled under the pressure of having to deliver that much value. And I used to get a lot more nervous before the sessions that I was receiving money for versus the sessions I did for free, which is why I coached for free for so long while I had a day job, because it just allowed me to practice coaching without the pressure of delivering an outcome. And that's why I started with a small figure, so that it wasn't too triggering and I didn't, but you know, I just kind of had to get in there and do it. And like I said, you will build confidence in the value you're offering every time you deliver the service. And you see, even if that person just got a little bit of value out of it, that means that was worth their investment. And again, the other thing with valuing, and I was going to talk about this around pricing stuff, it's not just the value they get in the moment. Like what you're paying for in this mastermind is not 5 months of being with me. It's the fact that what I'm giving you could potentially transform your entire life. Literally, it could. It could potentially make you thousands or even millions of dollars moving forward. That's what you're paying for. Working with me. Like if someone comes to work with me on their feminine energy and it allows them to call in a relationship, start a family and be with their soulmate for the rest of their life, that's worth a lot more than $2,000. I only would charge that amount for them to work with me. But what they're getting from it is potentially life-changing and like next level joy, fulfillment, abundance for the rest of their life. You know, so the value you're offering is not just in the time that person's with you. It's the skills you're teaching them that could completely, literally make the whole trajectory of their life be completely different. That's why you see some like business coaches charge ridiculous amounts of money to work with them, because they're like, well, what I'm teaching you right now could mean that you're going to make millions of dollars in the rest of your life. So if I charge you $5,000, is that okay? You know, that's really how you need to think about it. If you teach someone how to be healthier, and that means they get an extra 20 years of their life, how do you put a price tag on that? That's making sense. Amanda, and you don't always know what people have received. You absolutely don't. And what they got out of a session, it can sometimes hit them later. Absolutely. I find that it's the same with teaching singing. Absolutely. You know, someone could be like, oh, I'm just teaching singing. That's not that great. You never know what you're doing for their confidence, for their self-expression, for their self-belief, how that's going to flow into every other area of their life, how it's going to unlock more of their creativity. Invaluable stuff. Yeah, that's one of the ways I really started to let myself charge more for what I do, because it's not just about the contact hours. All right. All right, let me just give you a few pieces here on money mindset of things that I've really learned over the years that are super important. We talk about this in the workbook, but So the big one, some of the biggest things that have helped me clean up my relationship to money. And that's actually a book I read a while back that was really good. It was called Money, A Love Story. It's by Kate Northrup. And Kate Northrup actually has a lot of resources on money. Money, A Love Story. And also Bianca posted in our group the book Creating Money by Sanaya Roman. That's a channeled book and it is phenomenal. So on the same, I find Sanaya Roman on the same par as Abraham in terms of the quality and vibration of the content. I have every one of their books. But Creating Money is a really, really good one. So the biggest things, one of the biggest things that changed money for me was becoming conscious of my money rather than being unconscious. So I used to be someone that would never look at my bank account. I used to just like keep tapping the card or inserting the card and just cross my fingers, money would still come out. I never wanted to look at it. And as I began to be willing to look at my money, to become really conscious, to be grateful for what was there, it changed a lot for me. So, you know, shame hides in the shadows and you bring something into the light and then you can release the negativity around it. And so bringing money into the light, looking at it, making it conscious, clears away any of those cobwebs of shame and guilt and negativity. And Kate talks about this in her book and I really learned it from her. This sort of, I now do it sort of as a weekly ritual of checking my bank account, sometimes daily, and looking at what's in there and being grateful for what's in there. Even if it's $50, being grateful for what you have, being conscious of what you do have, being very aware around your money. So money responds better to consciousness rather than unconsciousness. It also responds best to clarity and order. Again, I used to have such a schmozzle. Different accounts, didn't know how much money was in what account, business and personal expenses were all blurred together. It was a total mess. As I started to clean it up, got different cards. This is business card, this is personal card, this is business account, this is personal account. Set up systems. It's completely allowed me to call in more money because there's clarity and order to it. Everything flow in the universe flows better with clarity and order. And it creates a container for more to come in rather than when it's really messy. If you call in more, it's going to get even messier. So order, organization, structure, systems, and clarity. Get clear. How much debt do you have? How much money do you owe in different things? How much do you have on your credit card? How much credit card interest comes off? What are your bank fees? How much money comes in every month? How much money do you spend on all these different things? That clarity will make you feel so much more empowered. And that took me out of feeling that money was like something I felt really was my weak area and brought it into being my strength area, where I feel really empowered about it now. It actually makes me excited to make more. Another thing that was really beautiful for me was allowing a real freedom in how it flowed in my life, not being stingy with spending. And when I spend money now, and I learned this from Kate, being very grateful for what I'm receiving in return. So if I pay my phone bill, to be like, oh my gosh, this money that I'm paying has given me for the past month internet access, the ability to FaceTime my family, daily phone access to do all my social media and my business, the ability to be in contact with all my friends, the ability to WhatsApp my friends overseas, like actually seeing, because sometimes we're like, I'm going to pay my phone bill, you know, I've paid my rent and it feels heavy. And we resent spending. Or, you know, you go to buy stuff and you see the amount come up on the till and you're like, Jesus, like that is so much. But if you actually give appreciation for everything you're receiving, it's an exchange of energy. I'm paying for all of the workers at Telstra. I'm paying for Telstra to deliver my service. I'm paying for all the networks Telstra has set up to give me my service. Like I'm paying for so much in return for that. With food, I'm paying for the farmers that maintain the properties, that look after the produce, that transport the produce, that set up the farmers markets that give it to me. And I pay $50 for my produce every week that nourishes my body. Like when you see just how much you're getting every time you spend money. So it's not like, I'm losing money. I'm just exchanging it for something really valuable to me. Makes it feel completely different. Another thing that really... And I think this program, it could be a real example of this for you, but what really helped me was my willingness to invest. So I remember, I never forget this time, I was at a point in my business where I wasn't making very much money. And I was pretty stressed and strapped for cash. And the opportunity came up, this was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, came up to move out of a share house and into an apartment, paying double the rent, but into this apartment living by myself. I was leasing it off a girl while she was overseas. It was a stunning apartment. And I wanted to do it so much, but I couldn't really technically afford it. But I said yes anyway. The craziest stuff happened. In that first week of saying yes, I'm trying to remember what happened. It blew my mind. I think I was taking on one-on-one clients at that moment, at that time. I had an influx in 1 week of all these new clients sign on. And I think I also did a program launch. And in a week, I ended up manifesting. I calculated it. The exact amount of money I was going to have to pay for 6 months of rent at that property. It was like, I don't know, kind of how much was it? Like, it was thousands of dollars. I manifested it in a week. My first week, just from saying yes and taking the risk, it's like when you commit wholeheartedly, the universe rewards your courage. It happened with this apartment too. Probably like financially was in a little bit of a precarious place taking on this apartment. But I remember, I think I came in and I did a launch and I was just like, there was like tens of thousands of dollars that came in and I was suddenly like, oh my God, like the universe has just shown me, it's just rewarded my courage. So I've often found actually the more that I'm willing to make courageous investments, the more it calls money into my life if I have the ways for the money to come in. It's also important to clean up energy leaks with money. Energy leaks are things like those subscription payments, you know, where money just gets deducted out of your account. You're like, what's even a subscription? I haven't, you know, used Photoshop in 6 months. Why am I paying for that? For example, clean that stuff up. Be aware of your bank fees, be aware of your credit card fees. Look at just unconscious ways you might be spending money on like takeout when you could just make a meal at home. Clean up those places that you're just leaking energy, leaking money for no real reason. That makes it, I found that, did wonders for me too when I cleaned it up and simplified it. Amanda, every time we've purchased property, we slightly overextended ourselves, but looking back, it was so right and we never struggled too much. Yeah, it's really interesting how it happens. Sometimes this is the other thing with money as well. You have to create a reason for it to come into your life. This is where sometimes when we just talk about, I just want an overflow of money, I completely relate to that desire, but the thing that I've actually found has called money in is when I have a purpose for it to come in. So I will typically just sort of create the same amount of money if I'm just like, I'm happy with my life and everything's really good. But when I create a real purpose for it, like say, I'm sort of playing around with what this might be for me at the moment, but say I wanted to work with a mentor and it was $10,000 to work with them. That purpose, needing that money for that purpose, brings that money in. But if I don't need that additional $10,000 for anything, the universe is like, well, why are we bringing it to her? She doesn't need it. So I actually find that's why making bigger investments and bigger commitments calls more money in, because you've given the money a reason to come in. It's got to have a purpose. And that's why I feel like people who spend more money make more money. I see, I've even seen a lot of people who've built really, really big businesses being like, well, in fact, there's a guy that Jason and I follow, and he spends, I mean, he's making shit tons of cash, but he spends, I think, it's like tens of thousands of dollars on Facebook ads a day. And so all the money that comes in is, it has a purpose, and so it's being funneled into that. And that it's like this law of the universe that allows it all to flow. But I just find, the times that I've sort of said, I just want more money, but I don't have a reason for it. It could be, I want more money because I want to do a mastermind. I want more money because I want to get monthly massages. I want more money because, I want to go and, I want to be paying $100 a week into my mum's bank account. So that purpose of it really helps it flow in. Danielle, I totally agree, and it's happened to me many times, yet my be responsible story totally gets triggered. Yeah, I understand that. So maybe it's about finding ways to support the be responsible aspect of you. And maybe that means you make sure that you are chatting to your accountant and you have good systems set up and you are aware that there's avenues for more money to come in if it needs to, and you manage the money that you've got well, or you've got money in savings. So you're sort of like looking after that aspect of you that needs an element of responsibility. But there's also, I feel like there's another part of you that is, it's going to be based just on trust. It's going to be based on what feels right. The logical, responsible part of us doesn't really like that. But I think as long as we can have both, like if you went full risk and you were like, yeah, I'm just going to quit my job and I'm just going to like do this and blah, 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 and it was all airy-fairy, that would be too much. That we can have a balance of both, where we both ensure there are a lot of things that are set up that are very responsible, while at the same time we're giving that part of ourselves that wants to take a little risk and follow what she feels and trust herself, we're giving her some room too. And it might be about a conversation between the two of you where you might be like, okay, this part of you might be like, oh, we want to go live in this beautiful place, but that's going to cost more money, but we really, really want to do it. And you go, and the responsible part of you goes, okay, well, we're going to have to set up a budget and we're just going to have to be more mindful of your spending. And that means, no Deliveroo for the next month and no online shopping for the next month. And we'll chat to our accountant and we'll make sure that da 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 da. And so you kind of get both parts of you working together. So that you're not just being like, oh, well, responsible side, see you later. Because I think that part of you is important. It's almost like a calculated risk rather than a reckless risk. But I think if you can get both parts of you working together, it will, listening to my heart, which does still keep me safe yet expand before my mind. And it's like almost like the heart's the leader. So I like where the mind becomes the servant to the heart. So the heart speaks its desire and then the mind comes in as sort of the strategy and it's like, okay, cool. How can we make the heart's desire happen then? Versus when the mind crushes the heart and the heart's like, I want this. And the mind says, you can't do that. It's got a flip where it's like the heart's leading and then the mind says, okay, but we need to be responsible. So how are we going to help the heart have what it wants? But in, we've also got to be responsible. I'm never an advocate for just being woo-woo about money. I would never teach be woo-woo. Woo-woo where it's kind of like, oh, money will come and everything will be fine and da-da-da-da. I used to be like that. It doesn't work. You got to have both elements. Otherwise, you're kind of living in fairyland a bit. Okay, sorry, I'm rabbiting on. So I did talk about receiving money before, but the amount of money you're currently receiving is what you're currently in energetic match to. To receive more money, you have to shift your energy. So that's talking about the work I was talking about earlier about deciding what it is you want and really feeling into the state of being in the energy and the emotion that are in alignment with that amount of, with that person who's living in that reality with that amount of money. And you can upgrade into that energetically by just changing everything from the way you hold yourself to the decisions you make, to the way you talk, to the way you feel about money when you spend it, to the way, going into your visualization and just imagining it. The other thing is as well, beautiful, Amanda, Danielle. The other thing is as well, a really nice thing to do is we did this in Align and Elevate, and maybe it's in the guided meditation I gave you guys too as a bonus. I can't really remember. But say I want to call in a certain amount of money. I see it as like an energy that I imagine calling in. I do this with all things I want to receive. And I imagine it's sort of coming towards me and I imagine myself like opening up my body and my energy field to receive it. And it's got to start to become familiar to your body and your nervous system in order for you to be able to receive it. So before I want to call in something materially, I call it in energetically and I play with it. I do this. I did this before I called in a relationship. I do this before I call in a home. My boyfriend's moving in here tonight, but I want us to move to a bigger space at some point. I'm already working. I mean, I haven't talked to him about it yet. He doesn't need to know, but I'm already working energetically with our 2-bedroom space. I meditate on it every day. I'm feeling into it energetically. I imagine us in a bigger space. I imagine us with our separate offices. I imagine all this stuff because I've got to make that feel really safe and familiar and good to my body and my nervous system before I can materialize it. So I'm working on it now, even before we're planning on moving. That's how you come into energetic alignment. You feel into the reality. You might imagine the amount of money. You might imagine yourself delivering your service and feeling really good about it and having people love it and you're receiving money for it. Just visualize that every day. Feel into that and start to just make the feeling of that reality feel safe and comfortable and good to your body. Stuff will get triggered. You'll notice, oh no, I can't do that and I'm not good enough for that and that's too risky, whatever. Breathe through it. And then just keep feeling into what you want to create. And that's how you start to make it become more real to your body. And when something is real to your body, it materializes in the material plane. Okay. So that's how we work with the energy of things. I hope that's making sense. Okay. I'm just mindful I could go on forever. So I'm just going to try to move on to my next points, which are about your offerings. Now, I take you through a whole exercise in the workbook about it. But if you would like to offer something, I just want to share a few things around how I design my offerings and some things that might help you with designing your offerings. So I usually always start with the topic. I've got to be sharing about something or teaching about something that I'm feeling excited about and passionate about. Like it'll be like an idea will drop in. It will either be like I've been working on this thing in my own life and I feel really like I want to talk about it more. Or it will just drop in as an idea. And so I usually start with the topic and I just start fleshing out the topic. It might be self-love. It might be feminine living. It might be how to build a business. It might be how to improve your health. It might be practicing self-care. It might be how to be more creative, how to learn how to sing. And I just start fleshing out that topic, like what are the different elements of it? What are the different conversations in there? What are the different components of this? Like I have to have a real rush of energy, excitement around it. And I would say don't create anything unless you really have some passion behind it, because you're not going to be able to see it through. You're going to hit a roadblock and you're going to give up. So there's got to be sort of some energy and excitement behind it. And if I'm going to design it, say, as a course, I will break down the elements of it. So this whole mastermind purely came from me doing one-on-one sessions over and over and over again with women saying to me, Connie, I don't love my day job. I really want to work for myself. How did you do it? How did you get into life coaching? How did you start building your communities? How did you make money? How did you transition? And I was like, I'm having this conversation over and over and over and over in my one-on-one sessions. Maybe I should put it in a group program. And so I literally just went back to my journey and I was like, okay, what was the first component? What was the second component? When did I, you know, and I literally just wrote this whole program based on the journey I walked. And you might do a similar thing. Like if you've been on a journey of learning self-love, if you've been on a journey of improving your health, if you've been on a journey of learning how to step into your power, learning how to get into a relationship, for example, I'm just making topics up. Think back to that whole journey for you. How did it start? What was the first step? If you were to teach it to someone else, what would be the starting point? And then what would be the next step? So that's usually how I'm fleshing things out. It's interesting because I'm feeling I've got a course that I'm beginning to birth on manifestation, but I've also got one that I think I've got something, I don't know what it is, stuff coming through about relationships. And so it's really interesting for me. I'm doing a lot of reflection now on my relationship and the various stages and components and elements and just writing it down. And I can see how that would start to form into something I could teach. Yeah. And there's a few things to think about when you're designing an offering. Like I said, your passion for it and why you're passionate about it, the journey that you've walked around it personally and why that's been so impactful for you. what you know about this topic based on the life experiences you've walked. So what have been your key experiences, your key learnings, your key story around this, all the different steps you walked through, the problem you're solving for people. What is the problem you're solving for people? So if I was to say with this program, the problem that I intend to solve is people who want to follow their hearts and honor their gifts and share what they're truly passionate about with others, but they don't know how and they don't have the support. And so my intention is to solve that problem by offering a framework and providing a community. What's the outcome you want to help people get? That's really nice to think about. That can really drive this sort of your sales copy about it, the outcomes that you're going to help people experience through being a part of it. And who needs this and why? A few things to think about. Think about how you'd like to share it. There's so many ways you can share things. You could do a little PDF or an ebook. You could teach an online class, like a one-off free class, a one-off workshop, you know, like on Zoom. You could do a one-on-one session, a series of sessions. You could do, I mean, you could have previously done like a workshop in real life. Maybe at some point we can do that again. You could do a small group. You could do a big group. Think about how you would most enjoy to share the content. Do you like that intimate one-on-one? Do you want to be able to teach a class? Do you want two-way conversation? Do you just want to write it? Do you want something pre-recorded or do you like to do it live? Who is it for? Who are the people and the person you're really wanting to serve? Who are you creating this for? Is it like who you were? Like when I started my business journey, I didn't have a how-to and I didn't have a community. They were two things that were missing for me, which is why I thought back to that aspect of myself and I'm like, wow, if I had been part of something like this, it would have really helped me. So I'm almost created this program for who I was when I was wanting to go on this journey. So that's all got to be really guided by both the person you want to serve, but also like what feels most exciting for you. With determining prices, the way, I mean, look, I usually just pick a price, honestly, of just kind of what sits with me. Usually a number will just come to mind. I reflect on quite a few things. Sometimes I reflect on how much work I put into it, how much of my personal wisdom and life experience I'm drawing on, how much time and money and energy I've invested to get that life experience. Sometimes I also just think about how much money do I want to make? How much would feel good to me to receive for what I'm giving here? I think sometimes it's okay to look to industry standards. When I started coaching, I looked to other coaches who were entry-level coaches like me just to give me an idea of a starting point. And that's okay to do if you need some clarity on what you typically offer for something like what you want to create. I know sometimes we very often want to give away things for free, which is fine, but keep in mind people do value what they invest in more than what they get for free. Usually they will put a higher value on it and they will value it more the more that they've invested in it. So that's why it's worth charging money. And I also feel like you create a growth opportunity for your client. Most of you have probably had to go through maybe some inner process before you made the investment for this. That's already like you're activating growth in your client already by asking them to invest. Think about the value they're receiving, not just the value they're receiving in that time, but the value they're going to be receiving for the rest of their life by taking on board what you're teaching them. Look at also, I often base it based on how much of me they get too. So I find my programs that are, say, like my online courses at the moment that are available on my website for 50% off, they're at a lower price at the moment because there's no live support. You just buy the course and work through it. But something like a mastermind where I'm literally with you for 5 months, you get a lot of contact hours with me, that has a higher investment on it because there's a lot of my presence here and you're a smaller group, so you're actually getting individual attention rather than a course with 50 people where they don't really get much individual support. So that's how I often will price my offerings too. All right, I've got a couple. I know I'm kind of brewing through this part, but there's a lot in the workbook that will help you. And if you're in the point of designing offerings, you can revisit this kind of this section on it too. The way that I look at selling and being magnetic and receiving money, when did I start playing in this space? I think when I started moving out of doing one-on-one and into more group courses and online courses, I really started playing with how to call in more money. Because when you do like a program launch, the numbers are endless, really, of how many, not like the mastermind where it's limited, but in my other courses, like you can call in as many people as can buy it, really. So I started to play in the space of like, all right, how do we call in more? Like, how does this work? And I started to focus much more on energetic principles. Before I get into that, there's, you know, sometimes we even get triggered around the idea of selling. And I don't see it as selling anymore. And I would hope people don't receive it as selling, but maybe they do. And I don't actually mind if people feel like I'm selling to them anymore, like online or on the podcast or on stories, whatever. The way that I see it is that I am the voice for what I've created. And if I don't advocate for it, if I don't put my voice behind it, no one's going to know about it. Now that's called selling, but I don't see it as selling. I see it as, hey, I created this thing that's really valuable and could help you. Here it is. That's it. Here it is. And then what you decide to do from there is up to you. I'm not trying to like convince you and force you. I'll tell you why I think it's valuable and I'll tell you everything that's great about it and how it can help you. But that's just part of me like fully like honoring what I just created. I used to create a lot of stuff and then just let it sit there and I wouldn't show up to share it. But I was like, wow, that's such a disservice to my creativity. That's such a like slap in the face to the part of myself that just put all this effort into making this. This is a slap in the face to the part of me that gave me this idea. You know what I mean? So I learned now how to like, it's just about putting a voice to what you've created, genuinely talking about it. Having conversations with people, communicating why it would be valuable. You know, and I would hope that all of you that had a discovery call with me, it's my intention, I never know how they're received, but my intention is always that it's a conversation. And it's a conversation of me understanding you, understanding where you're at and what you're needing, sharing how I feel based on what you've told me, how this mastermind could help you go where you want to go. Could be in alignment with what you're looking for, could be valuable. But whether you're saying yes or no is out of my hands and not sort of my focus. Now that's me being quite detached. Everyone sells differently, but I like to be detached because I don't want to force people to buy my stuff. But I will fully show up and make sure that people know what it is. Yeah, Amanda, this is where I'm at the moment. I'm finally figuring out how to back myself and be aligned with what I've created. And look, that's not always easy. But the more certain you are in what you have to offer, the more money you'll make. People feel your uncertainty. People, they may subconsciously, but they won't trust you if they feel like you're even uncertain in what you're selling. So that just takes time to build that level of confidence. And that's why I'm sort of much better at it now, because I'm much more certain in what I've created. That just comes with practice. Kylie, I love it, Amanda. I'm noticing so much fear. You know, hang on a sec. I just choked on my words. We're really putting ourselves out there. It's a really vulnerable feeling. But again, it's trusting the creation that's moving through you. And it's having the courage to just be vulnerable and take a risk. If that feels like that's important to you. So this kind of idea of being magnetic, the way I work when I am, say when I'm filling the mastermind, right, particularly if I've got 10 spaces, I will always write on a post-it note when I'm doing a launch how many people I want in the group. I did this with Align and Elevate last year and I got the exact effing number. Couldn't believe it. I just picked a number and I got the exact number. Because what I do is I put the post-it note on my computer and I look at it every single day. It is now, I did this last year with Align and Elevate, it is now November 2019 and I have X number of people in Align and Elevate. I write it as a statement like it's done and I look at it every day. I think I picked something like 55. It was like a random number. And I did not think I was going to hit that number. I ended up exceeding that number. But at close of sales, I had that number. And I was like, whoa, this stuff works. I just stuck on the post and I looked at it every day. And I just kept saying, it is now November 2019 and I have this many people in Align and Elevate. It is now January 2020 and I have this many people in the Dream Creator Mastermind. Give the universe clarity. Give your attention to that every day. But you're also, so what I do is I set my intention. I give my energy that every day. I imagine it. I visualize it. I connect with you all energetically before you're here physically. So say you want to call in one new coaching client. Say you want to call in three new people to work with you in singing lessons. Say you want to call in 10 people to buy that offering you made. Connect with their souls. Meditate on them because you're being of service to them. So I sit with everyone energetically and I don't know what you look like, but I feel you. And I'm like, yeah, here's the person who's looking for exactly what I'm offering. There's billions of people on the planet. Here is this one person that right now is in their heart yearning for exactly what I have to offer to help them. And it's just about us coming into alignment. And I hold space and I'm like, I'm just calling this in. Help these people find me. I will show up. I will share my message. I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it on the podcast. You know, I even saw, Kylie, I haven't got to your post yet, but I even saw Kylie posted something about how people find us. The number of people that have found me through the most random ways. I mean, Dawn and I had this chat the other day. She was like, I think Dawn's like, I Googled something on spirituality or something. And an article of mine came up, like totally just guided to me. Dawn and I worked together one-on-one. Dawn's now in the mastermind. Dawn did Align and Elevate. Like, you just keep putting yourself out there and you set the intention and you hold space for people who are in alignment looking for what you're offering to find you. You don't know how they're going to find you. You don't know when they're going to find you. I didn't know that writing that blog post, whatever the blog post was that Dawn found, I didn't know that was going to get me a client. That's not why I do it. I do it because my responsibility is just to be visible and available and put my content out there and then trust that the universe will guide people to my stuff. We come into alignment. They're looking for something. I've got the solution. We just magnetize. So I always focus on the outcome I want, but I also detach from the outcome. I detach from whether I get that number. I detach from when it's going to come, how it's going to come, if it's going to come. But I don't stop ever holding that intention. And if I don't hit my goal, I don't. Doesn't mean anything. I don't make it mean anything. There's also this really beautiful balance between action and surrender. I noticed this when I was filling my women's group coaching program. So you've really got to trust. There are times to be in action mode. Create content, put yourself out there. So sometimes I would get the guidance, do a story today, do an Instagram live today, do a blog post, do an Awaken Radio, send out a newsletter. I do that. And sometimes I put the energy out and then I let the energy flow back. It's a dance. Being magnetic is a dance. So it's not just like a jackhammer, da, 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 where I used to be like action, 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 and just like do, 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 do. And there's no room then for the universe to bring the people in. It's like a wave. The wave goes in and the wave comes out, and the wave goes in and the wave comes out. It's not just in. So when you're manifesting anything, particularly money, particularly things in your work, you show up, you do the outflow of energy, and then you just take space and sit back. And that's when I go into receiving mode and I rest and I play. And I think I shared the story on my podcast, I think, where I was like, had done all this action output around my women's group coaching program. And I was like waiting for something to flow back and it wasn't. And I was like, all right. And I just got into the kitchen. I started cooking and I was playing music and I was dancing and I was drinking wine. And I was like, oh, this feels so good. And then my phone pings and then just like thousands of dollars drop in when someone signs into the program. And I'm like, oh, how fun's that? It's like, you know, we put out action and then we expect the results right away. You just need to drop into surrender and trust and receiving mode and get back into your pleasure and your joy and feel good. And then you come into alignment with the people. That's whenever I'm launching, there has to be such a balance of action and then pleasure-based, just like enjoy life, go for a nature walk, play some music and dance, have fun with your partner, do whatever you want. But like, I find the times that I sit there on my phone, refresh, has anyone signed up yet? Has anyone signed up yet? Has anyone emailed me? There's no room for the universe to bring it in. So the energy work behind what we want to receive is super important. And I find it's more important. I don't know. For me, like, yeah, the action is incredibly important. But if my energy is out of alignment, that action is not going to bring me the results anyway. Do you know what I mean? Is this making sense? I hope this is all landing. This is a really cool conversation. Also, remember with money, like, abundance is a feeling. So abundance isn't always about a dollar figure. You can actually activate this feeling of abundance in so many ways, particularly, you know, appreciation and gratitude is so good for it. Visualizing abundance, focusing on abundance in other areas, like the abundance of clothes you have in your wardrobe, the abundance of friends you have, the abundance of food you have in your fridge, the abundance of clouds in the sky. Like, it's an energy that we can activate in so many ways outside of just a dollar sign. Yeah, but there's been a lot in this class, and a lot for you to work through, depending on where you're at, whether you're just wanting to work on your money mindset, whether you're ready to design and put out into the world some type of offering or creation, whether you have something you want to start to sell and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to work on this, like showing up and sharing and being vulnerable and then just sitting back and receiving and allowing, allowing it to flow back to me. And I always, you know, set very divine intentions. I'm like, dear universe, bring me the people who need this. This isn't about me selling to them. This isn't about me getting it. I hate when people use the language get clients. So often when I would start coaching, people are like, here's how you get clients. And I'm like, I'm not trying to get anything. I didn't try to get you. Like, this doesn't feel very good if someone's trying to get you, you know? It's a benefit to both of us. I want to call in people who will be excited to be a part of what I want to create because I'm excited to teach it, who want to exchange money and in the form of appreciation, but then who can I provide for immense value to. It's a beautiful exchange. It's a win-win and it's fun. So yeah, just be mindful of that language of like, oh, I need to get clients, I need to make sales, I need to get people to work with. Like it's the wrong language. It's all this. That's not magnetic. Magnetic is leaning back. So getting is like this, magnetic is like this. Like it comes to you. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Everyone's saying this is landing. Beautiful. Yeah, and it will flow naturally, Amanda, absolutely. And it doesn't always unfold in the time we're wanting or expecting, but we'd much rather be in the flow of it rather than the force of it. Force always comes from fear. Whew. All right, I'm going to leave it there. The workbook will give you a lot to work through. How are you feeling? Any takeaways? Sounds like a lot's landed here. There's a lot in this class, but I really enjoyed teaching this. This is real fun. If you have any more questions about it, we can always talk further about it in the Facebook group. But yeah, this has been a really fun one to teach. Amanda says, looking forward to the workbook. Beautiful. Sophia, so many takeaways and things to reflect on. My pleasure. My pleasure. If anyone is at a point of wanting to create and design some type of offering or service or product or something that they want to receive money for, and you kind of want to just bounce ideas off us in the group, like come and share something. Whether it's a one-on-one thing, whether it's something you created, a product, an experience, come and like talk about it in the group with us. It will make it more real, one. And then, you know, just share it with us. And either if you want any feedback on it, or if you want any thoughts, if you want any help with it. I know we might kind of be like, oh, is now the right time to be selling something? And I've been a little hesitant to get into sell mode because just everything's so uncertain. But I said this to Kylie in the group on one of her posts, people need support right now. And if you've got a way that you can support people, it's time to show up and start supporting people. It's time, because there's a lot of people that need help in a lot of ways. And if we have things that can help people right now, let's get out there and start helping them. Ah, Sophia, so many things in the works, but none of it's finished. I'll work on my courage and share some of it. Please do. Follow, yeah. I mean, I'm the same. I love starting things and not finishing them. But feel into them all. Feel into the one that's calling at you. Feel into the one that feels most effortless to create or make. Feel into the one that you sense might be of most value to your community at the moment. Share a few of them with us. We can bounce some ideas around. But yeah, we're all needed right now in big ways. So if you've got something moving through you, trust it. Trust it. All right, loves. You're all amazing. Thank you for being here. Happy Easter for those of you celebrating Easter. And I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you in the Facebook group. Let's keep chatting it out and bouncing around the ideas. And yeah, can't wait. Bye, Kylie. So nice to see you. Bye. All right, guys. Have a gorgeous Monday or Sunday night. Bye.